And Glory is here, praise the Lord, Glory in the church, and it's good to have him here, and good to have you all here today, and I saw Miss Awilda had laryngitis, and she wasn't able to speak at the table, my wife was there, and my wife said to Awilda, I've been slandered, I want you to know, my wife said to Awilda, she said, now, he's hoping, pointing to me, that you will give me, my wife said, your laryngitis. And that's not true. I want you to give it to Jose Gonzalez. it's probably not going to happen. But anyway, it's good to see everyone here today. And I appreciate that song that we just sang, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And I think of Deacon Joe Slobodnik, who's here today, and how, he has been with our church, not just in terms of years of faithful service, but decade after decade of faithful Christian service. And one thing Deacon Joe always says is, what if everyone who was saved through our church's soul winning and our outreach has been blessed by this church ministry, what if they did not allow themselves to be moved from this place? Think about it. What if they did not allow themselves over years and over decades to be moved from this place? And Joe says we would have thousands in the armory of God, and we would have conquered northeastern Pennsylvania already. And I've heard many independent, fundamental Baptist great men of God. I've heard them preach over the years. And a verse I've heard them quote many times, and Brother Joe's quoted it, is, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119, 165. Now, you know what offend means, don't you? Offend means to stumble, so that it moves you away from God. It moves you away from his man and the people of God. And great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall stumble them away from God, the man of God, and the fulfilling of the great commission in the church of God. And so I'm using for my text for this afternoon these inspired words of the Apostle Paul, which he preached at a pastor's conference as he was headed to Jerusalem, and he preached it for the great pastor and pastoral staff of the church at Ephesus, and it's a church that he himself planted. On that occasion, he said these immortal words. Here's what he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, he said. And none of these things move me. And that's what I want to talk about. And I think of my predecessor in this pulpit, Dr. Charles Ware. And he was invited, I believe, by Brother Joe to preach on my 25th anniversary as pastor of this church. And he came here and spoke, and I believe the theme of his message was finishing well. And that was on my 25th anniversary. It's now my 45th anniversary of being a pastor here. And the challenge for me from that message, and the challenge for you today, is the same, that we need to finish well. And so what I would like to choose for my text is Acts 20:24. I shall not be moved, or none of these things move me. And I would like to preach on this subject, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. And the question I want to ask you is, will you be moved? Will one of these things move you? Will one of these things make next year for you not to be here. I've been here 45 as a pastor, more than 50 as a member of this church, a deacon and so forth. None of these things, by the grace of God, have moved me. But will they move you? I want to say today, I shall not, by the grace of God, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Will you? And the first thing I want to say is, I shall not be moved from confrontational soul winning. Will you? Let's read that verse again, Acts 20 and verse number 24. It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so I might finish my course with what joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about soul winning. He's talking about witnessing. And he's saying nothing is going to move me from confrontational soul winning. I remember years ago, there was lifestyle evangelism. It became very popular. And for a time, I was moved by that and shaken by that. That was way back before I went to that fundamental stand. And I remember saying, you know, you should just witness when you have networks of friends. And when you get to know a person long enough, maybe then you could share with them. But you need to build a friendship over time. Well, that sounds really good, doesn't it? But it is not what the Word of God says. Paul said, I'm moving, and he kept moving with the gospel. Read the book of Acts. It was not lifestyle evangel. It was confrontational soul winning, looking for that opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. And Paul kept going forward with that gospel, and he was not moved away from confrontational soul winning. I remember when I came back here, my wife and I had been in West Palm Beach, Florida for about a year and then a little over a year. And I taught school there. I was a youth pastor down there in a big church. And I remember God calling me back here. And I came back here in October to assume the pastorate. And then we moved the family up in November. And that seemed like a strange thing to move from West Palm Beach, Florida back here in wintertime, you know. But I remember getting back here, and we got the pastor's house. We bought it, 1125 Providence Road, big house, painted it red. But we got that house, and I opened it up on a whatever night it was, Tuesday, Thursday, I don't remember. But I opened it up for soul winning training, to teach people how to give the gospel. And then we went out soul winning. Amen. And we saw people get saved, and we saw people get baptized. But basically, we would witness, and that was really something, because a lot of churches weren't doing it. But we were basically limiting it to one night a week. That's when we went out soul winning, and when we witnessed. And thank God for that. But then, that was 1978 when we came up and did that. And then in 1986, I went to Hammond, Indiana for a pastor school. And guess what the theme was on? Soul winning. And Carl Hatch shared his amazing life story. And he was one of the greatest soul winners, Brother Joe, that ever came down the pike. And Carl Hatch gave his testimony, and the whole week was about soul winning. And the whole week, people that got saved were being baptized. And I remembered, God, like, I came forward at the end of the week, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the power of God. And I came back here, and it was like confrontational soul winning on steroids. It was a higher level. And what I found out was that I was witnessing not just on Tuesday or Thursday when we met at my house. I was witnessing every day, every day, every day, every day, or most every day. Because I was seeing people, and I was thinking, don't wait, do it today. Don't procrastinate. Do it today. Because I'd always say, well, I'll see this guy another time. I'll get to know him better. Then I'll witness. And God convicted me. No, you'll never see him again. And he was right. Many times I never saw those people again. Never had the opportunity. Pull the trigger now. If I'm a deer hunter. If I went out, I haven't hunted in a while. But if I see a buck out there and I've been waiting and a buck comes and I got my gun, I'm going to pull that trigger now. I'm not going to wait, see, for another time, a better time. The devil wants you to procrastinate. So God filled me with the Holy Spirit. Just the other day, I was out and I was saying, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned the sermon this morning. That came out of that. I mentioned the Mormon girl. That came out of that. That was not on a soul winning night. It was just being ready at all times. And so I am saying to you, that was in 1978. God made me worse in 1986. I did more confrontational soul winning after that. And listen, I'm saying to you, it's now 2023, and I don't intend to be moved from confrontational soul winning. Right now, we are doing it more, and we're signing up new soul winners. And Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If people follow you, will they be a fisher of men? If people follow you, will they see you soul winning? If your friends see you, if your family see you, I got a grandson. His name is Lincoln. He lives out there in Missouri, Ozark, Missouri. And he's in a Baptist church out there, and Lincoln. And he said one thing he likes about Papa, I miss Papa. He said, you know, he's out there giving that gospel. And he listens to me giving the gospel. He likes it when he sees it. How about you? You can give the gospel, and you can train others to give the gospel. I'm saying I don't want to just give the gospel. I want to train others. I just want to pick fruit. I want to plant fruit trees. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Not just how many people are you winning. How many people are you training to be soul winners? And I want to challenge you to get involved with it. You say, oh, I did that before. Well, it's time you hit the altar and do it again. And get back to it. Because I shall not be moved. Amen? I shall not be moved. What is it? Great peace have they that love thy law. What's offending you? People say, I'm offended at this. I'm offended by that. I'm offended. Listen, get over it and get up there. And go out and witness to something. Because while you're offended and licking your wounds and crying baby. And I understand people get hurt and all that. But listen, best way to get healed is go. Amen. Preach that message. Healed is you. You go, right? You're healed as you go. And that's what we need. And so I shall not be moved from confrontational soul winning. I'm not going to be moved from it. I'm not going to be moved by this false repentance crowd and lordship crowd. I'm not going to be moved from confrontational soul winning, my friend, because God put it in my heart. And I pray if you've been moved that you come back. And stay back. Sometimes we get moved, we fall. We need to get back up so we're not moved away. And stay with it. Don't stumble away. I want to say a second thing, though, this afternoon. I shall not be moved from my marriage. I shall not be moved from my marriage. You know what gets men? It's ladies, liquor, and lucre. Lucre's money. And ladies, liquor, and lucre. And I tell you, I've never seen so much whorishness as in our day. And I've never seen so many whoremongers as in our day. And I shall not be moved from my marriage. God said of marriage that it is a covenant of companionship that is entered into before God and witnesses. If it's easy, it's sleazy. You know, somebody say, I just got married. I made a promise. Oh, we're married. You know, no, it doesn't work that way. It's a formal covenant before God and witnesses. And you are not to be moved away from that exclusive covenant commitment until death do you part. You say, well, what does the Bible say about marriage? The Bible says this. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. They shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:25. I remember some years ago preaching in this church, and I said that the act of marriage, the physical act that God gave, is, listen to me, is for a husband and a wife only. And if you are involved in that act outside of the covenant of marriage, you are a trespasser. You are a poacher and you are a fornicator. And the Bible says fornicators and adulterers, God will what? Judge. He will judge them. You say there's an awful lot of them today. God can handle it. Let me tell you. He can judge. He can judge and he can deal. He does not care about popularity. You know, Antipas was martyred in Pergamos, the married to the state church, the compromising church, and his name means against all. And they said, Antipas, the whole world is against you. He said, then I'm against the whole world. And that's what Jesus is. It's Jesus in one is a majority. Amen. We don't need the popular world's opinions and the media control by the globalists. We don't need that, my friend, because God said that marriage is important. And I was preaching that in our church. And I remember one of the men, he took it to heart. It was a man I had led to the Lord. He took it to heart, and he was with somebody and living with somebody. And they used to call it shacking up. I don't know what they call it now, but it's just fornicating. And they were living together, and he was convicted, and he would sleep in another room. He didn't move out, but he slept in another room. And I was visiting over there one day, and this person was attending our church time. I was visiting, knocking on the door, and she was there, and she said, "You have taken my man from me." And she was angry. "You've taken my man from me." And I said, "No, for one thing," I said, "what I'm preaching will make your man stay with you." Amen. I said, "because if you don't have marriage, then, you know, why buy the cow if you get the milk free?" I said, "you need to realize this," or maybe today you say, "why buy the chicken if you get the eggs free?" You know, that work? But anyway, because my wife doesn't like chickens anyway, you know. But she likes eggs. So anyway, what I'm saying to you is that I told her, I said, "actually, this what I'm preaching would not take away your man from you, but keep your man with you when the times get rough. Because when you're married and you go through those rough times, maybe there's a time when he's going to want to move from you. But he shall not be moved if he knows God and the word of God and he follows the word of God." And that's exactly what happened in that situation, you see. That's exactly what happened in that situation. And I was out the other day, ran into a young man. And one of our men had led him to the Lord. And one of our other men had just talked to him. And I said, "well, this is like a second talk you're getting from the church. I just happened to see you." I said, "this time you got the heavy hitter." And I grabbed him by his shoulder and did a punch in his gut like that. But I let it stop before I and he laughed, you know, he laughed. And he said, "come in here, Pastor, and I want to talk to you." So I talked to him, and I said to him, you know, basically, I said, "you need to get married. You need to get married." He said, "well, she doesn't want to get married." I said, "she does want to get married, but she wants a big service." And I said, "the marriage is more important than a big service." Right. I said, "you can have a big service later." I said, "you need a covenant before God, and you need to be serious about marriage." And I said, "well, she doesn't want it." Then I said, "don't be with her." Yep. And I told him the story I just told you. Amen. I said, "then see if she changes. See if she changes." You see, that's what this world needs today. Or let's put it that way, that's what believers need to hear today. That's what they need to hear today. And if you don't do that and you don't live like that, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for your salvation. Because neither fornicators nor adulterers nor drunkards shall inherit the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
And you say, "you've just preached believism. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Yes, it's a free gift, but it's not a free ride. When you receive that gift, Christ automatically then becomes Lord of your life. You don't have to make him Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Whether you understood it or not, he's Lord. He's Lord now. And you will feel it in your life. You will feel his lordship. And if you go away from him, you will feel his board of education to the seat of your learning. Amen? Because he will chasten his own children. And he said, "if you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons."
Right.
And so I want to be a son. Amen. And I want to have him tan my hide. If I get out, if I stepped out of my wife, not only would she kill me, but God would kill me. And so I'm just saying, I had an uncle, my mom's brother. I call him Uncle Gil. I worked with him. And I remember Uncle Gil, he used to he was a funny guy. He was a joker. He was funny. And Uncle Gil, he liked to go hunting, deer hunting in Michigan up north. And Uncle Gil would, you know, he'd have his deer clothes on, but he got these stilts, so it would jack him up where he was like about 9 feet tall. He was huge. And unfortunately, Uncle Gil, he liked to have fun, and he went into bars. When he would go out deer hunting, he would go into bars. You know, he liked to go into bars. And he would go into bars, and you know what's in bars, bar flies. You know, women are in there. And he's in the bar, and there's women in there, and they'd look at him, "Whoa, man, you big guy." And he would use that, and he had all these women talking to him. And he would talk trash with the women, you know. But do you know where that leads to, right? Drinking and that kind of, you know where that leads to? The fornicating. And the thing about Uncle Gil is he had a good job. He had a business. My grandfather, my mom's dad, was voted the toughest man pound for pound in Muskegon County. The guy could box like nobody's business. My Uncle Gil had a business inherited from him where he would plaster and all that. And they had a nice house. They had a nice car, a house. He had beautiful kids, a beautiful family. His wife was a very good woman. Domestic, cook, clean, kiss, everything. I say a woman's got to be able to cook, clean, and kiss. Not necessarily in that order, but she had it all. And I remember, you know, it gets back. It gets back. And it got back to her. And somebody has said, "Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned." And she was deeply hurt, and the spirit of their marriage was deeply wounded. And he tells the story. He said, "One day I came for breakfast. She had bacon there, my eggs the way I like them, everything there, coffee, all breakfast laid out." She said, "Come on, here's the breakfast." And served them the breakfast. And as he's eating the breakfast, she served him divorce papers. Took the kids, left, went out west. They became Mormons out there and went with some businessman out there. And Uncle Gil was left. Sad life. Sad life. I remember helping him, and he'd have a beer between his legs as he's driving his truck. And I was his laborer at that time. I was about 17. That's the summer I got saved. And I saw Uncle Gil, and I saw him go from girlfriend to girlfriend, you know, and that's what he was reduced to. No home, no family, sad life. I'm saying to you, friends, and he died just after his 50th birthday. I'm saying to you that it's a sad thing. I had a guy in our church here, had a beautiful family, wonderful kids, had a home. Was in this church, and God was blessing his being in this church, kids in the Christian school. And he got bitter at his wife. And there were problems. They both had problems in their life. Listen, you have problems in marriage, but you both have to get on the same side and work the problems out. Amen. You don't solve the problem by destroying the marriage. Yep. And I said, I called out his name. I said, "Listen, you've got to love your wife. Just love her. Just love her." I heard a godly man one time. He said, "Oh, his wife's got this flaw and that flaw and that flaw." And the person commenting, I said, they asked him, what does this person do for his wife that has this flaw and that flaw? And the other person that was aware of his marriage, he said, "He just loves her and loves her and loves her." The Bible said about a man that he's to love his wife as Christ loved the church.
Yep.
He loved us when we were unlovely. He loved us when we were unworthy. And that love is what is needed today, the love of Christ. And so this man, I told him that. And he said, "I can't, Pastor. I'm too bitter at her. She's done this and that." And I said, "Listen to me. You are going to destroy your life. You're going to destroy your kids. And you're going to destroy your wife. She's been through a lot of things as a kid. Now it's going to be worse." I said, "You've got to suck it up and love her. And God will help you to love her." And you know what? He didn't listen to my counsel. And the rest, unfortunately, is history. A lot of destruction came on those kids. And one of the kids was cutting himself, and this and that happened. And God's still working to heal that. But I'm just saying to you, I shall not be moved from marriage. They did a study of kids, even financially and economically, that were raised in one-parent homes. And they found out they were even economically poorer all their life. There, you need a father and a mother. You need a husband and wife. And therefore, don't sell out, ladies, thinking that if I give away the eggs, he'll buy the hen. No, if he gets the eggs free, he won't buy the hen. And you'll be left. And so, I shall not be moved from confrontational soul winning. I shall not be moved from my marriage. And number three, I shall not be moved from this church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Paul was saying, you're saved, you're baptized, you're a member of the church at Thessalonica. Now you're going through afflictions. Yes, I understand it, but that you shouldn't let the afflictions move you. What's going to move you away from the church? Some people, when they go through affliction, they hang out with the church. Interesting. And they get moved by the pleasures of the world. They get their job, they get their money, and they're gone again. Are you that kind of fair-weather Christian? God doesn't want that. He wants disciples of Jesus that are not moved by afflictions, and they're not moved by good times either. They're just not moved. We had a lady in our church years ago, Billy Jeffrey, and what a godly lady. What a wonderful lady. And one thing she said about everybody that joined Scranton Revival Baptist Church, I'll never forget it. Billy said that in order not to be moved away from Scranton Revival Baptist Church and to receive the blessings of this church, you have to pass tests in your life. And there are tests that will test to see whether you'll stay with it or you'll let them move you away.
Yep.
You're going to be tested.
Yep.
And you need to decide right now, I shall not be moved from confrontational soul winning. I shall not be moved from my ministry. And I shall not be moved from my commitment to the local New Testament church. And so what I'm saying is, I talk to people about that. And sometimes I have had opposition, Patty, not from outside the church, but from within the church. You've seen that over the years. And you know what? If I went by that and said, well, Satan's right here in the church, because sometimes Satan was right in the church, then how about Judas with Jesus? Did Judas move Jesus away? Wasn't the devil in Judas? Didn't move him away. How about when Peter got under the devil's influence? And he tried to move Jesus from going to Jerusalem. And the Bible said Jesus set his face like a flint. And he said to the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. And sometimes people come into the church and they see problems or they see the devil and they think, I got to move out of here. No, you do not. That's wrong. You need to repent of that kind of thinking. You need to stay put. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Hit him with a whipped cream pie. I'm just saying that I've seen evil days. They're nothing to laugh at, man. It's real. Let me tell you. You've seen evil days. You know it's nothing to laugh at. I'm not up here as a, you know, young novice that doesn't know what the devil. He's powerful. And we might not be in an evil day now, but we've been in them and we'll be in another one soon enough. And we'll be like, But still it says stand. And having done all to stand. Because we're wrestling. I'll never forget Mrs. Bajeski. A good wind will blow her away. But she was at a camp, and they had sumo wrestling. And they had ladies come out, sumo wrestle. And with sumo wrestling, you come out and you lock, you know, and there's a circle, and you got to push the lady out of the circle. And Miss Bajeski saw this lady come out. She was about 350, if she was anything. She come out there, and she, Miss Bajeski, pastor's wife, come on, Mrs. Bloom, get out and wrestle her. And sure enough, Mrs. Bloom come walking out there. Oh, no. And I watched it, and they banged the bell, and Mrs. Bloom jumped out like the fly lady. And she pushed this lady, and she pushed her out of the circle. And she won. Mrs. Bloom won. I'm calling it right here. I saw it. But they didn't call it. And when that lady got her second win, Mrs. Bloom... And the rest is history. She moved her. But I'm just saying, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? And they want to move you. They want to move you out of here, friends. And you've got to determine, I'm going to resist the devil, and he will flee from me. I don't intend to be moved out of the church, and so I shall not be moved from confrontational soul winning. How about you? I shall not be moved from my marriage. How about you? Is your marriage in order? Is your house in order? I shall not be moved from this local church and commitment. And one more thing, I shall not be moved from my gospel hope. The devil does not like it when we're joyous. He does not like it when we're rejoicing in the Lord. He does not like it when we're enjoying our salvation. If he can't take your salvation, he'll try to take your enjoyment of it. So I want to tell you this morning. Colossians 1:23 says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. I want to say to you, how can you not be moved away from the gospel hope that you have? First, realize that it says which ye have heard. See, faith is not based upon hearing good news for you. I'm sorry, I said is not. Faith is based upon hearing good news for you from God. Faith, listen, looks away from you, yourself, and what you are doing to deserve salvation. Faith is something that is a confidence from hearing. Faith is based on that Jesus Christ, what he has done. Jesus did it all, 100% of it. And faith tells you that, and the Word of God tells you that, and that's why I'm 100% sure with the Bible reason I am going to heaven. There were times in my life when I was under stress, when I was under ministry pressure, when my feelings would change, and I was saved one day and lost the next. Saved one day, the lost the next. Doubting. But listen, I came to a point where I realized it's not based on my feelings. It's not based on my circumstances. It's not based on my performance. It is based 100% on Jesus' performance. Salvation is 100% of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he's God in human flesh. He lived in perfect obedience to all the commandments. Do you know there are way more than 10 commandments? There are hundreds of commandments. And there are commandments of thought, of word, of deed. There are all kinds of commandments. And the devil loves to get you to look at yourself. And, oh, he has your faith in your faith, and your faith is not good enough. Oh, he has your faith in your repentance. You don't have it. You have a faulty repentance. He always got you looking within. But The Bible says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. It's 100%. We're talking about chickens and eggs. All of my eggs are in his basket for salvation. All my eggs. I didn't leave one for myself. And that's what salvation is. And so the devil, listen to me, wants to move you away from the hope of the gospel. And you can be 100% sure with a Bible reason if your Bible reason is Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He did it all. And my eggs are in that basket. And so not to be moved away from that hope means, number one, you realize it's hearing the good news. And number two, you stay with the foundation. It says, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And you need to realize that faith has a foundation, and you're not moved away from that foundation. Now, what is the hope of the gospel? Here's the hope of the gospel: that I have an expectation of good in the future when I die or Jesus comes back. What's my expectation? If I die today, angels are going to take me to heaven. I don't descend into hell. That's good. Or if I don't die and Jesus comes back, angels come, sent by Jesus, he's in the air, sends the angel, they pick me up and take me to Jesus. And they change my body so I can go in outer space and meet the Lord and be with the Lord forever. That's good. Why do I get that? Because I'm a good person? No, because I've heard the good news about Jesus did that all, and I put my faith in Jesus. That's the foundation, Jesus. Other foundation can no man lay. That's the foundation. But that foundation gives me a hope of the future. And it's a certain expectation of these things from God in the future. And you're not to be moved away from that. How do you get moved away from it? Satan gets you to look at yourself instead of your foundation. And then you're moved away from, you don't have hope. And if you don't have hope, you can't go. You can't go on. You get all discouraged. Hope will let you overcome trials and give you patience. And so you need that hope, you see, concerning the future. And I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved from that gospel hope. And Satan will try to move you away. He'll try to get you to look at your repentance, to look at have I accepted Jesus my Lord? I already said, repentance is just to acknowledge you are unrighteous and you repent of trusting your righteousness. You trust Christ, and you then have the Holy Spirit move in, and the Holy Spirit causes you to recognize you have a new master of your life and to lead you in that direction. And so I remember Pastor Ware used to say, always bring people to the dependence upon grace and then show them the direction of grace. First give them the foundation, then give them the direction that takes them. I'm talking to you not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Because if you are, you're going to be immobilized. You're not going to do anything. You're going to be totally discouraged. It's like D.L. Moody. He was discouraged. He quit preaching for a while. He said, I need to get back to my foundation. And by the way, faith has a foundation. God, his word, Jesus Christ. You stand on that. You stand. How firm a foundation. But then faith has feet. Don't just stand. Step out in faith. Serve the Lord. Step out in faith. Go soul winning. Give the tithe, the offering. Step out in faith. Get rid of the fornication. Get real marriage. Step out in faith. Faith has feet. But then faith fights. Somebody has said faith is like the foot of a man. And if you can imagine a poisonous snake coming to try to bite me. And the snake is called unbelief and doubt. And faith is the foot on the neck of the serpent of unbelief. And he's trying to bite me, but as long as I've got that foot on him, he can't bite me and give me that doubt. Faith fights too. And faith fights. And that's what you need to do, not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel. You need the good fight of faith. And keep on fighting by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That means the just shall receive eternal life, but it also means you live your life by faith. Amen? And you fight the devil by faith. And so I shall not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. I shall not be moved from confrontational soul winning. I shall not be moved from marriage and the importance of my marriage and the exclusivity of it. I shall not be moved from my commitment to the local church. And I shall not be moved from the hope of the gospel. How about you? Would you make that commitment? And would you take those steps not to be moved? Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about not being moved.